Been a long and busy week, what with the inauguration on Monday, and of course, the new governor now taking office, and on his first day in office, the day of his inauguration, a big drama plays out over his choice for House Speaker that didn't quite exactly go the way he wanted. I was kind of surprised later in the week when I saw Robert Mann, our friend from over at the LSU, the Manship School, tweeting that he thought that the choice made some sense.
Well,
not his exact words, of course.
I thought it was very ecumenical, and Bob is Bob has worked in politics for Democrats, John Brope, folks of that nature. But he is, I think, without question, the dean of Democratic journalists here in Louisiana. And Bob, I read the column, and quite frankly, I wasn't surprised. I thought you've always been a fair guy. But are you getting any pushback from your Democrat colleagues for your support of Taylor Barra?
No, and I'm not saying that I support Taylor Barra. I'm saying I support the concept of an independent legislature. And whether it's, I mean, the legislature is majority Republican, and it in every other state that I know of, the legislature selects its own leaders. Louisiana is the only place I know in the country that the governor gets to select the speaker and the House and the Senate president. And that's always seemed to me to be not good for democracy. Not, you know, separation of powers is a good thing. And do I wish that this had happened under Bobby Jindal? Sure. I mean, does it bother me that Bobby Jindal forced the legislature to accept his Republican House Speaker when there was a Democratic majority? Sure. But if we're gonna make the switch to democracy, there's never a better time than now.
Well, that would be kind of cataclysmic for Louisiana to make the switch to full democracy. Let's not ask for too much all at once.
Yeah,
Bob.
Well, maybe so.
You raise a great point about Governor Jindal getting his Republican House Speaker when there was a Democrat majority, and it didn't seem right at the time either. I've often wondered why the governor wields so much power against the legislature.
Well, part of it is because the legislature has allowed the governor to have that much power. I mean, a lot of the power the governor has is not enshrined in the Constitution. A lot of it is his or her control of the line item veto and the capital outlay budget, and to be able to appoint people to, you know, plumb positions and all of that. But a lot of it is just because the legislature has, for example, always allowed the governor to select its leadership, and that means the governor also sort of gets to select the House and Senate committee chairs, because if you're the one who selects the speaker selects the committee chairs, and the governor has a lot of say in that too, and that has changed. That is no longer the case, at least in the House.
Well, I do remember during Jindal's first term, there was you would thought they were going to put in one of those pneumatic tubes between the governor's office and the floor of the House, so that the speaker could clear everything with Bobby before it happened.
Right. Well, and it's that's.
He just used an earwig, and Bobby was.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Probably so. Like the quarterback gets the plays called in. But that's always happened. I mean, that's happened when Huey Long was governor. I mean, you know, I mean that this is not Bobby Jindal did not invent the idea of a legislature slavish in its loyalty to the governor. He may have perfected it, but he didn't invent it. And I've been saying for a long time that, you know, we need an independent legislature, and I'm glad we have one. And furthermore, I think it's good for John Bel Edwards, because, you know, if things go south and he's not able to solve this fiscal problem, you know, for him politically, he needs somebody to share the blame. And now there's going to be a Republican opposition that's going to have to produce. If they don't want to go along with his plan, then they need to come up with their own. It's no longer going to be one big plan that the legislature and the governor come up with.
Bob, are you concerned that with this choice and this legislature, there could be gridlock going forward?
Well, I think there could be, but I mean, you know, honestly, the choices are pretty darn simple. I mean, we're either going to cut, or we're going to find new revenue. Now, I mean, you know, where the revenue comes from and where the cuts might come from, it gets complicated, but the equation is pretty simple. There's no money tree that we're going to plant. And so the money's got to come from somewhere, or the budget's got to be balanced in some way. And so I think both sides are honest in their appraisal of the situation and sincere in their desire to fix it, because no one wants his or her university or his or her hospital shut down in his or her district, and or, you know, the driver's license bureau or whatever. That's what we're talking about. And I think Republicans and Democrats still want to see the government function and the trains run on time. And that's got to happen, and they've got to fix it, Republicans and Democrats together.
Bob, we got a minute, and we need to take a little break. We'd like you to stay for a couple minutes after that. But
sure.
Is it unfair when people like you and Kevin and I talk to these folks, the governor, the legislators, and say, so what are you going to do when they're really only 4 days in? Is it unfair to ask that question right now?
No, I don't think it is, because I think they should have been telling us months ago when they were running for governor what they were going to do. I mean, we shouldn't wait till after the governor's elected to find out what he has in mind to fix our problems. They've had a year to talk about this, and these are all people. John Bel Edwards was serving in the legislature for the last 8 years. It wasn't like he's unfamiliar with the budget. So we should have always expected more specificity out of them, and I think we should expect specificity out of John Bel Edwards now. And I don't think it's an unfair demand or expectation.
We're talking with LSU professor and blogger and political, I don't know, activist. Anyway, Bob Mann. Bob, how do you like to be described?
Professor and columnist, I suppose.
Columnist is good.
Rabble rouser.
He's a big left-wing rabble rouser. That's what he is.
And we know we've only got you for 1 minute or so. So Kevin and I have put our heads together. We've come up with the final question. Mr. K?
All right, well, my question is, we talked about specificity and plans to stabilize the budget, and hopefully they've got this all lined up. They're going to have 2 weeks to solve this problem. I want to ask you lastly about honeymoon. Will they get this thing solved, work cooperatively, and will this honeymoon last into the regular session, do you think?
I sure hope so. I don't know. I think that the election of Taylor Barra is probably a hopeful sign. He's not as I don't think he's as ideologically to the right as Cameron Henry, who seemed to be the main Republican candidate for Speaker before Barra popped up. And I think he's probably a little bit more conciliatory, maybe more apt to work in a bipartisan way. Let's hope so, because that's what we need. We don't need a Republican solution or a Democratic solution to this problem. We need a bipartisan solution that not only the legislature can support, but the people will accept.
Well, I guess we are all going to be watching and waiting, but I think you're going to have an awful lot to write about. We're going to have an awful lot to talk about over the next 4 weeks.
That is for sure. No doubt about that.
Job security.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bob Mann, I know you've got a breakfast meeting you've got to go to, and we do appreciate you giving us the time, and we'll check in with you before they get started with this special session, if you don't mind.
Great. Always a pleasure. Have a great weekend, guys.